We're going to be studying in the Psalms this evening, so I invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And you may recall a couple of months ago we started studying in Psalm 119 and looking at these different parts of this psalm. It is the longest psalm in the book of Psalms, and it's divided into the various different parts of the Hebrew alphabet. You may notice most Bibles have as the heading of each one of these sections the different names of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, and etc. And so the interesting thing about each section is that in the Hebrew language, the first letter of each line begins with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so in the first section, all the first lines begin with the letter Aleph. In the second section, all of the lines begin with the letter Beit. That is in Hebrew, of course. Now in English, it doesn't quite translate that way because of the way language works. But nevertheless, it's an interesting thought, and it seems to be that in this particular psalm, we see that what is lifted up most of all is the Word of God. And the Word of God is referred to in a number of different ways. It is referred to as God's laws, God's testimonies, God's ways, God's precepts, His statutes, commandments, judgments, word and truth. And so, in essence, what the overall message of this psalm is that every letter of the alphabet sings praise to God. And that is set forth then in poetical form in the Hebrew language. And there is also in each one of these psalms some very definite messages for us to study and understand. And so tonight we're going to continue studying Psalm 119. And we're going to look at the second section, and that is verses 9 through 16. And let's read that together at this time. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And so once again, the emphasis upon understanding, knowing, appreciating, and valuing the Word of God. But there are some specific things that are mentioned here. First of all, the opening question of this section, how can a young man cleanse his way, or a young person cleanse his or her way? And then the answer, by taking heed according to your word. We also note verse 11, which is quoted often, your word I have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And that is certainly something that we should take to heart, so that we have God's word in our life to prevent sin from entering. But as we look at the overall scope of this song, we see that the Word of God provides for cleansing. And I would like to key upon that thought in the opening question, how can a young man cleanse his way? Or for that matter, how can anyone cleanse their way? And of course, the answer to that is by taking heed according to God's Word. And so the Word of God provides for cleansing. And there are three subpoints that I would like to think about in reference to that main point, that the Word of God provides cleansing, and that it provides cleansing, first of all, for our path. Second, it provides cleansing for our praise. And then finally, it provides cleansing for our purpose. And as we think about these three points, we'll look at this psalm, and then we'll also look at some other scripture references in that regard. Well, first of all, the Word of God provides cleansing for our path. Look in verses 9 through 11. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Now look at this. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so there is a path that God wants us to follow. And there is a way that he wants us to walk upon. And when we think about this way and this path, we understand, first of all, that we need to get into this path early as young people and make that commitment to the Lord within our lives sooner rather than later. And the Word of God cleanses the way for the young person. When we think about the Bible's teaching on youth, we find some similar thoughts to those found here in Psalm 119. In Deuteronomy 6, in verses 6 through 7, for example, Moses said this, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." So children are to be instructed in the way of the Lord. Solomon exhorted in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." And the psalmist said in Psalm 71 and verse 7, "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works." And so God is concerned that we learn his word from our youth, and he's concerned that the young hear his word and that they seek to apply it to their lives. And so the word cleanses the way for the youth. The word also prevents us from wandering when we seek God with a whole heart. That is, if we do that, then the word prevents us from wandering away. "With my whole heart I have sought you," verse 10. "Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Wandering is a problem among all ages, of course. And it is that idea of walking away from God's word, walking away from his truth, and leaving it behind. When we have God's word living within our life, it's going to be challenging to do that, because that word is going to give us life, and we're going to appreciate that life. In Proverbs 21 and verse 6, or verse 16, we read this, "The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead." And if you want to know what wandering looks like, just look at the story of the prodigal son, right? He took his inheritance, and then he went his way, and he spent all of that inheritance upon all kinds of debaucheries and evil things, and then he ended up in a pig pen. And that's ultimately where we end up if we wander away from God. In Hosea 9 and verse 17, we read, "My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations." So again, not listening to God's word leads to wandering off. And Amos said in Amos 8 and verses 11 and 12, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor of thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. And what will be the result? They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it." Excuse me. And so when we keep God's word, it keeps us from wandering away from him and his truth. And then the word stored up in our heart prevents us from sinning as well. And of course, that's what verse 11 tells us. "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Think about Psalm 37 and verse 31 in this regard. "The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide." And I think that's an interesting way to look at it. You know, when we have God's law within our heart, then our steps are not going to slide. They're not going to falter. We're going to understand where to put our feet, so to speak. And I've done some hiking over the years, and We've hiked in Yellowstone National Park and the Grand Canyon and then Big Bend National Park down in southwest Texas. And I've done some sliding at times. And I remember the most precarious situation I ever got into was actually not in one of those big fancy national parks, but a little small state park where there were some boulders that I was hiking on. And I got myself into a situation. I slid down a hill, and then I had to try to make my way over through some boulders. And some of them were kind of there were some deep cracks there and crevices. And I had to crawl through those things in order to get out of that situation. And so if I'd have kept my feet, you see, then I wouldn't have been in that situation to begin with. That's the kind of illustration that God is giving us here. He's saying when we listen to Him and we follow His Word, we'll keep our feet and we won't get into bad situations that we have to get ourselves out of. In Matthew 4 and verses 1 through 10, Jesus replied each time to Satan, "It is written, it is written, it is written." He knew God's Word and he knew that keeping that Word in his heart prevented him from sinning. Jeremiah said this, "Thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." And so Jeremiah appreciated God's word, and he recognized the value that it has. It has value for cleansing our way, it has value for keeping us from wandering, and it has value from keeping us from sinning. And so the word of God provides cleansing for our path. But then secondly, the Word of God provides cleansing for our praise. Look at verses 12 through 14. "Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony as much as in all riches." Here the psalmist praises God for His wonderful Word. And we recognize that when we are worshiping God, we are using our lips to sing praises to Him. We are using our lips to talk about His Word. We're using our lips to pray to Him and to give thanks for all of the things that we do, that God gives us when we pray. And so God desires for us to praise Him, and we should desire to praise Him as well, and we want our praise to be a blessing. "Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes." Do we bless God's name within our life? Do we bless Him each and every day? Correct praise is a blessing. Psalm 34 and verse 1 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Psalm 66 and verse 8 says, "O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard." We certainly cannot offer our own righteousness to God, as we've talked about previously, because to do that would be to be ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking our own righteousness, and we don't want to do that. But rather, we want to let the gospel work within our life, because that's wherein we find God's righteousness today. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And when we read and study the gospel, we're going to read and study the book of John, and we're going to listen to Jesus' words in John chapter 4, and verses 23 and verses 24, when he talks about worship and the kind of worship that God desires, that it should be spiritual worship, that it should be truthful worship. And in having that kind of worship within our life, then our praise will be a blessing to God. And we want to use our lips to praise Him, as the psalmist mentions here in verse 13. "With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth." Listen to Psalm 51 verse 15. "O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." Consider Hebrews 13 and verse 5. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice to praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." And in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, we read, "If any man speak," that is, use his lips, "let him speak as the oracles of God. And so as the psalmist talks about using his lips to talk about, declare the judgments of God's mouth, so we need to use our lips to praise God and talk about those judgments as well. And then our praise needs to reflect genuine joy within our life as well. Joy for the Lord. And this is what he says in verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. And we know how joyful people are when they have riches, right? Well, at least that's the way they seem. When you see people win great prizes, such as the lottery perhaps, or perhaps they win the publisher's clearinghouse, you know, and that big check is taken up to the front door, and they come out, and oh, they grab their hands, you know, on the side of their face and start jumping up and down for joy for all these riches that they now have within their life. Well, that's something that the world does, and we need to listen to what the psalmist says here. He says, I will rejoice in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Excuse me. So is that the attitude that we have toward God and His Word? That we're going to rejoice like we've won the publisher's clearinghouse or something like that? You know, are we that joyful about God's Word? Well, the Bible says we need to be. And that's certainly something that we can work on. In Psalm 33 and verse 1, we read, Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely from the upright. In Psalm 27 verse 6, we read, And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And so let's use our lips to reflect that genuine joy within our life. And so as we think about this psalm, the Word of God provides cleansing for our path. And the Word of God provides cleansing for our praise. But then finally, the Word of God provides cleansing for our purpose. Look at verses 15 and 16. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Now think about these words here. Meditate upon, contemplate, and then not forget. These are all things that we do internally. These are all mental actions that we take within our life. And it all goes to our purpose. You know, why we do what we do. And that's why God wants His Word to be within our hearts, so it'll be at the foundation of our purposes as we go forth into the world each day. Notice Psalm 1 and verse 2 when thinking about meditating upon God's Word. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law doth He meditate day and night. Meditation upon God's Word. It will fill our life with purpose if we will think about that word. In Psalm 145 and verse 4, Of the glorious majesty of thy honor and thy wondrous works, I will meditate. And Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:15 and 16, Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them. And if he would do that, he says, In doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And so we need to meditate upon God's words. So the Word of God provides cleansing for our purpose as we meditate upon our lives, upon ourselves, upon His will for our life, and as we seek to apply that to our lives. But then we need to meditate and recognize that purpose within our life so that we can respect God's ways as part of our great purposes. Nebuchadnezzar had this to say in Daniel 4, verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are truth and his ways justice, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Yes, we are to understand God's word and respect his ways and not lift ourselves up with pride as Nebuchadnezzar did, but rather humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. Consider what Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God wants us to be a special people, a people for his own personal relationship and possession. And because of that, he gives us purpose. We find great purpose in those things. In Revelation 19 and verse 1, we read, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." And they recognize that there is great purpose in honoring and respecting God's ways. And then there is great purpose in delighting in God's word and not forgetting it. In Psalm 40 and verse 8, we read, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, the law is within my heart." In Romans 7 and verse 22, Paul writes, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." And in 2 Peter 1 verses 12 through 15, Peter writes, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and are established in their present truth. Yea, I think it suitable, as long as I am in this tabernacle or in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." And so Peter wanted them to remember the words of God and not to forget them. And so in delighting in God's word, not forgetting God's word, that is able to cleanse our purpose. And so three things here then in this psalm that the word of God, or in this section of this psalm, that the word of God does. And as we continue studying through this Psalm 119, we'll see the word of God does much more than these things. As this psalm continues to reflect upon God's word and think upon God's word and show respect for God's word. And so, but this evening we've noted three things, and that is the word of God cleanses our path. The word of God cleanses us in relationship to praise, and the word of God cleanses our purpose. Will we let God's word live within our lives? And will we let that word have sway within our lives? And that's the question that we need to ask ourselves. If we will, then all the promises that God makes within his word, he says, will come to pass. And we can have all the blessings that are available through him and through his word. If we don't let God's word live within our lives, then we're going to find ourselves in some straits of one sort or another, and in difficulty of one kind or another. And so it's always best to simply let God's word have its way within our life. Is God's word having its way within your life tonight? Are you a child of God? Do you need to become one through hearing that word and believing it? Repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Christ, and being baptized for the remission of sins, you can take that step this very evening and give your life to Christ, who is God's Word in the flesh. He exemplifies the Word. He is the Word. He's the author of the Word. He's given us His Word, and He desires to have a relationship with us. And so you can then have a relationship with Him by becoming a child of God, a brother of Jesus Christ. Do you need to repent of sin within your life? Have you not had the Word of God living within you? Have you not hidden it in your heart as you should, and thereby not prevented sin, and need to ask forgiveness for those sins tonight? That opportunity is available for you as well. If you have a need, please come. Let's stand and sing this song of encouragement.